Welcome to Onward, the Forum Families Forward podcast. In this episode, we're talking to Erica Brown, who's a special education teacher in Prince William County and a former Forum Families Forward staff member. We're going to talk about getting your special needs kids, as well as all kids, ready to go back to school, and how parents and teachers can work together to help the transition back into the classroom after this past year and a half of shutdowns. So, Erica, many of our Forum Families Forward kids have experienced some trauma in their lives, and that was before the pandemic. Now COVID has added even more layers of stress and trauma. From your perspective, how are teachers getting ready to work with the students on this situation?
So from my perspective as an educator, we're keeping in mind as we go back into our schools and classrooms that the whole world experienced pretty significant trauma over the past year. And that's something that is a key talking point for all of us. And so many of us are focusing on processing and healing ourselves, so that we can be fully and readily available for our students and our families, right? Because we also went through the pandemic last year. Another thing that we're focusing on, that I'm focusing on, is emphasizing relationships with my students, with the community, with families, so that I can build that trust and understanding. Because, you know, as educators, we know that there have to be meaningful relationships before there can be meaningful learning in our classrooms, meaningful problem solving with our families and our communities. And so, yeah, I think that's something we're all considering. And then many districts and schools are prioritizing like district-wide and school-wide social emotional learning, not only for staff, but for students as well, so that we can help families and students to be able to recognize and then also communicate their emotional needs and develop those skills so that they can ask for help to get what they need to feel safe and ready to learn or teach.
So with so many parents and caregivers spending more time at home during this past year, they're in a unique position to offer more insight and information when it comes to the trauma and stresses that these kids faced over the past year. How should they handle communication with their teachers and educators in the coming year about these issues that the kids are facing?
Sure. Parents and caregivers, families, they really are their child's biggest advocate, especially with virtual learning over the past year and a half. They have had access to things that we as educators have not. We simply could not be there. And so I know many teachers are reaching out to families directly. You know, we're making phone calls, or we're sending emails or information sheets to ask families to provide any information that might be pertinent to their students' needs. And then for families, you know, if the first day of school is approaching and you haven't heard from your student's teacher or other educators, Call the school and ask who the teacher is, speak to the teacher, send an email, and set up a time to have a private conversation so that you can update the teacher on your students' experiences and their needs. And I know for families whose students might have more significant needs or require a more intense level of support, they can reach out to school resources that might already be in place. So those would be folks like parent liaisons, school social workers, school guidance counselors, in addition to your student's teacher or case manager. And then, you know, set up a time to schedule a conversation to communicate those things as well. And I think another thing that many schools, if not all schools, are doing, at least in my district, in my area, is they're having open houses or, you know, like meet and greet days. And I would encourage families to attend those with their students, if that's possible. And then that way, the teacher can begin getting acclimated to the family, to the student, and building that relationship with the student before they ever set foot in the classroom. And then you'll have a point of reference when, you know, you're communicating information, or in the future, if there's something that a conversation that needs to happen or something that needs to take place, you already have that point of reference from which to begin.
So how can families and educators best collaborate on the same page with individual students, as well as in the classroom and school-wide expectations?
Many school districts are making information about the school year readily available to families via multiple communication channels. Districts can show up by over-communicating information and expectations as we go into the school year. And then parents and caregivers can show up by being thorough in consuming that information that's available, and then reaching out to schools directly if they are unclear about the information that was presented or unclear about the expectations. Parents can also prep their students by taking the time to have conversations with their student so that they're prepared to meet whatever expectations have been outlined or presented by the school and district.
Do you have any back-to-school suggestions for parents, foster parents, and caregivers of students with special needs that can help make the transitions back into the classroom easier?
Definitely. I know that this is a big, big thing that keeps coming up, because a lot of our students have at least had some part of their school year that was interrupted by virtual learning. So they've had routines interrupted. They've had relationships interrupted, friendships. And so I know that that's a big thing as we're moving back into the year, is establishing those connections and routines early. And I know that most students rely on that, on the predictability of routine, because it helps them to feel safe. And, you know, as a special education teacher, I know that this is especially true for our children with special needs. So anything that families and educators can do to establish predictability and routine will be helpful. Some of those ideas, as I mentioned earlier, is finding out when your open house and your meet and greets are at your local schools, and attend them. Attend them with your family, with your student. If your school isn't offering this, call and ask for a time when you can come in. And then this is also a great opportunity for parents and students to visit other places in the school that the student is going to be spending a significant amount of time. So that's your cafeteria, your art room, your music room, your playground, and use that to remind or to prepare your student for what they can expect in each space. So for example, you might visit the cafeteria with your student and say something like, this is where you're going to be eating lunch. This is how you're going to go through the lunch line. This is how you're going to place your order or put in your lunch number. You'll come sit at this table. And if you need help, this is how you get help. You know, so really going through all of those things to just build that familiarity and predictability, especially, you know, capitalizing on this time to explain any expectations that might be specific to your school regarding social distancing or masking in each of those locations. And, you know, something that we're also doing is asking families to talk to their student about how they're feeling about going back to school. Is there anything that your student is particularly excited about? Anything that they're specifically nervous about or afraid of? And these are the things that you can prepare or practice when you go into the school to do your meet and greets or your open houses or your tours. Another thing that I know to be helpful is to start to adjust your home routine to what it's going to look like during the school year. So for example, if your bedtime during the school year for your student is going to be 8 o'clock p.m. in those few days leading up to the first day of school, get back into those habits and routines to help establish that predictability. There's a really great Instagram account that I follow called Big Little Feelings, and they do a really great job of supporting parents and caregivers with helping their children as they're navigating feelings that normally accompany transitions. They have scripts and videos and all sorts of things that I, as an educator, find to be very helpful. For families and caregivers, if your student receives services like special education services, 504 services, things of that nature, due to mobility challenges, to connect with their service provider. So that might be your occupational therapist, assistive technology, adaptive PE. Connect with those providers to discuss any plans that might need to be in place for your student, especially considering things like social distancing and masking.
Can you give some examples of times when teachers and parents or caregivers were able to successfully partner to help with more equitable opportunities and better academic behavioral outcomes?
Absolutely. So we know from experience that students often have the best academic and behavioral outcomes when educators and families partner to help them be successful. So something that I've done in the past in my classroom with many students actually is implementing token boards or token systems that have rewards that correspond to both the classroom and the home. So for example, I've had parents send in things like highly preferred toys or electronics from home that are motivating to their student. So in my classroom, when the student demonstrates desired behaviors, they earn a set amount of tokens and then they get to use that highly motivating item. I've had parents who have allowed me to call or FaceTime them during the day with their student when their student has maybe hit a target or a goal that we've been working really hard on, or done a great job on an assignment, or just had great success behaviorally. And something that I've noticed is that real-time feedback from parents can be the difference for some students. When I'm able to say to a student, you know, if you get this done in this particular way, we'll FaceTime mom or grandma or whomever and tell them that you did such a great job. And then, you know, when they get home, the parent then has the opportunity to say, oh, I love that you got to call me with Miss Brown today. And, you know, that carries over to the home environment. And so I would definitely say, make sure those lines of communication are open and have those conversations with families about the things that are motivating to their student, or, you know, in contrast, maybe the things that like prevent the student from being successful, so that, you know, to avoid those things during your class time as well.
Now, for some school districts, the IEP planning session begins in the fall rather than the spring. What kinds of information from this past year would be a good idea for parents and caregivers to include to help create a better IEP for their kids for this year?
Sure. So I do want to quickly note that as part of your child's IEP team, parents, caregivers, whoever has the educational responsibility for that child, you can call an IEP meeting whenever you want, and the school needs to honor that meeting. So even if the process begins in the fall or in the spring, at any time, you can ask for an IEP meeting and ask for those things to be documented that you discuss. But in addition to that, really any information that families can provide about their students' virtual learning is so helpful for us. What was their attendance like during virtual learning? What did they enjoy? What did they not enjoy? Specific things like, did parents notice changes in their students' achievement or behavior? As I mentioned earlier, parents have been there for a lot of this in-home education in ways that we as educators just were not able to be. So they were able to experience or see or notice things that we would not have had access to. And that's going to be so helpful for us as we're getting back into the routine of school. Parents should also communicate any concerns that may be new or may not have been able to be addressed during virtual learning. Additionally, it is so helpful for educators to know if there was any stress or trauma specific to the pandemic, right? So illness or death in the family or close friends, something that would have impacted the student's performance if families are willing to share that information. And it's interesting, I actually taught high school last year, and I had a surprising number of parents tell me that their student preferred virtual learning because it was less stressful schedule-wise, and it was easier for their child to stay organized using the online learning management system. On the other hand, I've had many of my elementary students' families communicate that virtual learning was difficult due to limited focus and more distractions for their child in the home environment. So teachers can use this information to address accommodations or modifications that might benefit your student during the IEP process and in the classroom as well.
So what's the best way for parents to communicate with their children's teachers on any concerns or information that they might have around the issues that the special needs kids might have or be experiencing?
Each teacher has their preferred method of communication, but I do think it's good practice for families to send some form of written communication. Formed Families Forward has an All About Me one-pager under the Resources tab on their website, where students can work with their family to describe their strengths, needs, and strategies they've learned to help them be successful. Additionally, an email expressing concerns can be effective. It is always helpful to follow up via phone call if you haven't heard back from the teacher within 24 to 48 hours. But again, that written piece is so helpful because it also gives you something to refer back to for future conversations, or if your child has concerns in the future, it gives you a reference point as well.
Some parents or caregivers right now might be having some misgivings about sending their kids back to school, and some of the kids might be very stressed out about being physically back inside the schools. So what could you recommend to communicate to those parents and kids about the situation and their worries?
So I would say that educators and school staff can absolutely understand these misgivings. Many of us are also experiencing similar misgivings, whether it's with us being physically present back in the classroom, or many of us have students at home who are going back into schools this year as well. Parents should definitely keep in mind that safety is our main concern. As educators, as a district, school-wide, safety really is our main concern because we know that students can't learn effectively and we can't teach effectively if we don't feel safe. So your student's school, I'm sure, will welcome any questions or strategies that you found successful to partner with you in helping to keep your students safe. As I mentioned earlier, during a school tour, an open house or a meet and greet or something like that, that's also a great time for you to ask the student's teachers, you know, where are the sinks located? Is there hand sanitizer? Where will masks be provided? Things like that, so that you as the parent or caregiver are able to communicate that to your student as they're returning to school as well. And we're just really looking forward to partnering with families to make this a safe and amazing year back.
For more information, including that All About Me form, visit formfamiliesforward.org. This has been Onward, the podcast of Formed Families Forward, produced by Formed Families Forward of Northern Virginia and Blazing Kiss Media. Thanks for listening.